This is Kill Panda Kill with Aaron V, and I'm here with John Schaefer from Ice Earth. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man.
What's going on with Ice Earth?
Big tour. We're out on a three-month stretch. We're doing North America, South America, Australia, and Asia, all in one swipe there. So.
Oh, nice. And you've never been to some of these places before.
Yeah, true.
Are you guys looking forward to China and Australia, because those are the new places?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. I think Australia is going to be killer because we know we have a lot of diehard fans there, but I've never had any contact with Chinese fans. We just know they're there, and we're doing a show in Beijing and Shanghai, so it should be really interesting.
Oh, nice.
And Symphony X played there, actually, and they told me it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty killer.
Different, but very cool.
So you guys have a new album out, Dystopia?
Yeah.
What kind of process do you guys have when putting that together? Because your style is like so huge and anthematic. When do you start putting it together? Like, on, do you put it on during the tour before, or do you get into the studio and you just go to work there?
No, I don't really. I mean, part like guitar parts, riffs, and stuff. That's one thing. It's not really songwriting. It's just coming up with ideas and then you make something out of it. But typically, that's not the frame of mind that I can really get into on the road. I mean, I can pick up a guitar every day and come up with riffs all day. That doesn't mean they're all going to be great, but getting in that mindset of actually creating something that is that's going to give people goosebumps and bring real emotional swells to them, then you need to, I've been doing this a long time. I know what process I need to do, and I have to get into my head and really be isolated for a while just to start coming up with basic arrangements and really, it's a different part of who I am than the guy that goes on tour.
Okay.
And so it takes some time and just focusing in on it. And so there's usually a specific period put aside just for writing.
All right, and during that process, do you think of, like, you have a new singer now, Stu Block, and do you think about how he will affect the songs as you're processing, or are you processing in a general sense, and then you find the right person to bring in to complete that project?
Well, I mean, it's not really, the musical arrangements are something completely different than what the vocal does, and it's really not, I mean, I've never met a songwriter in my life that composes with a singer in mind. I think that's just something that people that aren't writers think that happens, but it doesn't really happen that way. You just have to, you have to find a guy to work with that is capable of handling the dynamics that the music requires. And I mean, I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of guys and have coached a lot of guys and produced a lot of amazing singers through the years that get it. They're theatrical enough that they understand what Ice Earth, the roller coaster ride, is about, and they have the physical ability to be able to do many things with their voice, and then we can, take everything possible out of that, out of that talent. So, when we're doing a production, so that's a different, it's a different thing, but it never affects the beginning of the compositions. They are what they are. That's what makes the thing what it is. And then, pretty much like if there's lead guitar melodies or lead vocal melodies, even the lyrical stuff is always the last part of the process. It's like the icing on the cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys were lucky enough to find Stu Block. And where did you guys find him? Like, how did that all come about?
The CEO from Century Media Records told me about Stu. We knew what Matt was going to, his decision was going to be pretty early on. And we just, I had a short list of guys I was talking to and had demos from and sent instrumental tracks that they were, doing that they would record. Whatever the songs were, they would be in their own studio recording, and that's what Stu did as well. But I really liked the energy that I saw in Stu's eyes on the videos that he did with Into Eternity, so I wanted to get him out for the first audition because my instinct was telling me that if I can produce this guy and we have chemistry together, then I think this is what's going to work. So I got him out there first, and after, a half an hour or so, I knew he was the one. And we had about an hour drive from the airport to my studio, and talked the whole way, and we spent quite a bit of time talking on the phone even before that, and it just felt pretty apparent that we had a really cool chemistry. And Stu's just a very positive guy. He's really happy to be here. He loves what he does. There is no desire or no hidden agenda, and he just it, and that makes that makes me a lot more at ease also, you know what I mean? It's like, it actually brings a lot of balance to the whole situation, because he knows I deal with a lot of shit, you know, I'm carrying the weight and the business and everything else, and a lot of the creative pressure, I mean, well, 90% of it, and so it's like there's a big load being carried, and for a guy who sees that and understands it and really goes out of his way to try to keep me happy and stuff and to make things feel great, it's just a really cool, very, very cool chemistry in the band now, and Stu certainly brings a lot to that.
I think, like, you can hear that also in Dystopia. I found that Crucible of Man, it sounded a lot more angrier and more more fierce, whereas this one is more anthematic, and it sounds more positive or hopeful.
Yeah, well, I mean, I lost 3 family members in the year that I was writing Framing and Crucible. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, and with, like, you know, a brother, my father, and my sister all within, like, 4 months apart of each other. So, you know, you go through fucking writing the biggest epic, what's supposed to be the biggest epic of your career, and you have your whole family crumbling around you. It's like, it's brutal, and it's something that most people wouldn't even be able to fucking soldier through. So, I mean, I know there's, if I listen to those albums, I'm thinking, Framing's really good, actually. Crucible's just, there's a lot of arrangement decisions that I made that I never would, and that's always going to affect the outcome of, it's one of the biggest things of music and of writing and production. Arrangement is hugely important. You know, it doesn't matter how great a chorus melody is or how an opening riff is or all this stuff, you know, if it doesn't flow in a way that makes people, you know, just want to flip out, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, if you want them to cry like something like melancholy or you want them to feel these emotions, arrangement is the key. It's a big deal, and that's a big part of the songwriting process.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Oh, I'm sorry. Just... in the new album, there's 2 songs that harken back to the Something Wicked with Dystopia, the lead track, and
Tragedy and Triumph
as well. Was that intentional, putting it into this album as well?
Well, I mean, yeah, this album's all about the message, and but it's done in somewhat of a more veiled way than something like Sons of Liberty, for instance, which is very much obvious what it's about. It's a kind of a kick in the face from the time it starts until it stops. But we didn't want to go down that road with Dystopia, but we still wanted to inspire people to think for themselves. And if we could do that by writing some songs about dystopian themed, you know, movies or books or stories like Something Wicked, it's just a cool way to do it. And I think it's working, actually. I think it's having an effect, because I hear it from people every day. So, you know, it was also part of still keeping consistency and in the way I've always been, you know, when I start the writing process, I really like to come up with a theme or a concept or something so that I can really get my head into it. And that involves album cover art and all of it, you know, it involves like the whole package is kind of being done all at the same time as the writing's going on. So, and it was important to have some consistency and to really, I mean, you don't really get much more dystopian than the Something Wicked story.
Right.
So it worked as an idea to bring that back in just for a couple songs and add to the, you know, the V for Vendetta and Dark City and Soylent Green and whatever else. I mean, you know. But we didn't want it to be all dark. We didn't want it to be all, like, because there's a lot of really heavy stuff going on in the world. And, you know, we wanted to try to inspire hope in people as well. And you get that with songs like Anthem and Tragedy and Triumph and Iron Will, and you know, those are probably the main really anthemic pieces.
Speaking of Anthem, you've released it's the second video that you've released, and you worked with Fabian Kosh on that video. What was it like working with him, putting it together?
I mean, there was basically a whole crew of people around us that whole day in Germany, and they were great, very professional. It was much better than the Dystopia video is a nightmare. I mean, it has such a cool concept with the sparks and everything, and it could have been great, but it was just not a fun experience in any shape whatsoever.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's not even lip synced properly. I mean, it's just really lame. So I mean, that will never happen again. Believe me, I'd rather not do a video than deal with that dumb shit. So, but that's why we had actually filmed Dystopian Anthem with the same director. Mm-hmm. in the same 2 days, and we're going to release it later, but we after the Dystopia experience, we shit-canned the whole thing and just redid it in Germany while we were on tour.
Yeah, I also like the effect that it's everybody together, and it's you guys. It's more of a, like behind the scenes type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not very original, but it just it shows who we are, and it's a you know, music videos. You can't spend, especially indie bands, you can't spend much money on them. I mean, you don't get anything out of them really, except people get to watch the stuff on YouTube. But it doesn't. It never necessarily translates into record sales or. You know, it's not a safe investment, let's put it that way. There's other things that you can do to try to promote a band and spend money more wisely. Videos are cool, fans like them, and bands like doing them typically, but, you know, you got to watch your budget. So something like that we had to keep under wraps, and that's just a way to show who we are and to, you know, it is what it is. It was cool. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I think it looks great. Speaking of fans, too, I've noticed that on your website, you guys got webisodes, and you guys do a lot of interaction with fans after the shows and even before the shows. There's a lot of webisodes where you guys just show up, and your fans are just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, what's that like?
Well, I mean, it's really who we are, actually. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, which I guess one of the things that's really cool about the Internet is that it breaks down that barrier. It helps smash some of the illusions. I mean, this whole fucking business is about illusions. That's what it is, right? So, but what it does is it doesn't allow the journalist point of view to control and frame a musician's personality. This way, the people can actually see what it is. Because when you do an interview with somebody, if it's 30 or 45 minutes long, and it's a print interview and it gets condensed down to 2 pages, shit's been changed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been changed, and sometimes, depending on how the exchange was with the journalist, it can get a little heated maybe once in a while, and then things can be framed to kind of twist the way a person really is, and then they all of a sudden have control of the public perception of the band or personalities in the band. And this is, I think, is a perfect way for us just to say, this is who we are. You're seeing the real deal when you see us acting like the idiots that we are, which is most of the time. I mean, we're like, you know, we're guys, we act, I don't know how. I mean, we just have so much fun together as a band, and our crew kicks ass. And I mean, it's like a, you know, we're like, it's like a frat party every night. You know, it's just that way. So, yeah, people, I mean, you know, people can get a sense of who we really are by that kind of stuff. And it makes it cool, because we can just, you can film it on your iPhone, and the next day it can be on the Internet and worldwide, and people are sharing it. So
nice. Do you like the social media, the aspect of social media and how it's...
I mean, it's a double-edged sword to some degree, I think for what I do as an activist, I love it, and I think we need to use it as long as we can, because they're certainly coming after it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think everybody needs to use the Internet like it's going to be gone tomorrow. You know, because I think if we don't stop our criminal governments from some of this legislation, then they're going to be able to stop free speech, which is what worries them the most. See, the way I equate it is like this. If you look at the old days of the town crier, who was taking the news directly from the king, and the town crier would go out and tell the slaves and the peasants, this is the way it is. Well, then we came up with printing presses, and then we had journalists, and people started, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Print pamphlets up and pass them around. It's a similar thing now, because all of our press is controlled by a very small group of elitists that want to lead us down the rat hole a certain way, and it pretty much are deceiving us at every step. Where it's about, whether it's about the economy, all the fraudulent wars, all the shit that's going on, man. And so, you know, this is the Internet is sort of like that. If you go back to the colonial days of how important the printing press was, you know, this is what the Internet is right now, and that also allows for a lot of potential misinformation. So you have to really be kind of, you have to use your power of discernment. You have to learn from history. You have to read the writings of the tyrants themselves, because they tell you what they're doing. It's just nobody really seems to care or pay attention. And if you do that, then you can really kind of get a clear view. It's a big puzzle. You can put it, you can get it put together, and then you can actually stand up and do something to resist it. So. That's the importance of the Internet and social media right now. And I know the government watches like you know, what the activist groups out there are saying and doing. I mean, they're watching it like a hawk. And they funded all this stuff so they could keep an eye on the populations, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You know, they're checking it out, believe me. But fuck them. I mean, you know what? You can't live in fear from these scumbags. You just have to, you have to show that you're not afraid and use it and communicate with people as long as you can. That's it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so what's next for Iced Earth?
Well, after this, this is a, I mean, it's a pretty extensive leg, but we've got, we've got some potential European festivals. We're looking, we really want to get on a support tour with a bigger band, or go out on a, like a festival package thing, and we'll be touring a lot for Dystopia, probably for, I would say, at least another year, with a few breaks here and there, but not too many. And then we'll be back to work on another record, you know, which is, I'm looking forward to that too, but we're just having so much fun out here, you know, we're going to be touring a lot.
Cool. Yeah, are there any plans to bring back Demons and Wizards? I know you probably get that asked a lot.
Yeah, I get asked that every interview. Yeah. I mean, it's a big project, man. It's a, I mean, we got a Grammy nomination on the first one. We've sold a ton of records, and I mean, we're like, you know, I mean, it's a very successful project, and there's a big demand for it live. But it's one of those things that it's a time issue. You know, Hansi and I are brothers, man, and we'll do it for the rest of our lives. But I really don't know when we're gonna. You know, when we're going to be able to start the next one. It could be a couple years yet, because Iced Earth is really the, you know, it's a time right now where it's, my instincts are telling me we got to focus on this, because we got such a great thing going on here as a band, and we need to stay focused and push it and take it. If I stop that for a while and start working on Demons and writing and recording, and then, you know, the demand for touring is off the chain, then that means I'm going to be committed to that for a year or a year and a half, and I don't want a lag of a year or a year and a half in Iced Earth right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're a big history buff, and what kind of books would you recommend for people who are interested in activism?
Oh, that...
we had a good thing going, and then I switched gears.
No, that's cool. The best thing is... I think the most powerful book that exposes the really, when you learn about the financial fraud and the power of the Federal Reserve System, which is a criminal cartel of offshore banks, they don't pay any taxes in the U.S. or in your country or really anywhere, they're kind of above the law, and they control all of our money supplies. So, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the Bank of England, Deutsche Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, whatever, there's six or seven, maybe eight mega banks that, and they're controlled by, you know, these elitist families. It's basically mafia. It's what we're talking about. And they have control of, when you own the money supply of a country, you own the country, you own the politicians, you own everything. So that's the book that is the best. I mean, there's several, but The Creature from Jekyll Island is a must read for pretty much anybody that cares about what's happening in our world. I mean, if everybody in the world would read that book, it would change overnight. It would be over for them, for the banksters, because they can't, you know, it's knowledge and awareness of this scam is the big first step. How to stop it, that's something else. But the more momentum that the free human race gets behind us and understands the situation we're in, then it becomes, at some point, it's going to become an unstoppable force, and that's what the elites are worried about, and it makes them very dangerous right now. So, but you can't cower. I mean, you can't just, like, sit back and be afraid of this. There, at some point, we don't have a choice. I mean, because I know I've done enough research and I know what these guys are up to and what their designs are for the future of mankind, and it's not good, you know, unless you love being a drugged up, dumbed down slave that's just going to go to work and be, you know, Johnny Paycheck, Susie Punch Clock, and shut up and never voice any kind of opinion, you know what I mean? I'm not that guy, man. I'm an old rebel. I don't give a shit. So it's not gonna work for me and most of the people that I hang with and care about. We're, you know, we're trying to make a difference, and there's a lot of really good people worldwide. This is not an American issue. This is a global issue. This is, you know, a cartel of people that have been very shadowy for a very long time and going in and corrupting and taking over and seizing power in pretty much every government around the world. And it's not good. But, you know, we know who they are, and you do the research, you can find out who they are, and then we can do something.
Cool. You also are an artist as well. Like, you draw, you paint?
I did when I was younger. I mean, when I got finally convinced my dad to get me a guitar, all my energy went into that. I mean, I haven't done anything since I was in my early teens.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you had any, like, I know you go, of course, you'll go over the album artwork, but I thought you may go in and, like, you might pre-design and then...
Well, I mean, only from a conceptual standpoint. Mm-hmm. There's been a few times in the past where I've drawn things out just as, like, sort of a demo sketch. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times... especially with the artists that I've been working with lately, they get it completely. Mm-hmm. So I can just outline, like I said, maybe a 4 or 5 paragraph sort of a script of what Dystopia was going to be and what my ideas were. Mm-hmm. And then gave it to like 5 different artists that I've done a lot of work with closely in the past. And Nate came up with the best drawing for it, you know, the best sketch. And I'm like, that's the one. Let's go with that. So
cool, yeah, because it looks good. Like the...
I think the new cover's great. It's one of our best, man, and it says something pretty powerful. It's kind of freaky, but you know, it's in a sci-fi way. But if you really learn about the, you know, Agenda 21, you know, which is an agenda from the United Nations, what their plans are for the future, it's like it's not so far off.
I was going to ask you, because I know you've mentioned that, you know, that part of its illusion, the music business is the illusion, but you obviously feel strong, and you think, do you think that maybe Orwell was wrong about 1984, but he should have maybe put it 20 or 30 years later?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's, it certainly is, it doesn't seem like a work of fiction anymore. Maybe his timeline was off, but... you know, and I'm sure that, like, every time we resist something, it's a victory for us, because these tyrants are never going to stop. So we have to have people with liberty in mind, not an agenda of what political party, any of that crap. That's not going to make any difference. You have to care about the free human spirit. And then if you do, and you can break out of the matrix and all the lies from the propaganda from the media, then you can see this for what it really is and realize that we're never going to agree on everything. But we should damn sure agree on the fact that humanity should stay free. I mean, we're not free anyway, but we should be free.
Exactly.
You know, and regardless of whatever race, religion, you know, any of that shit shouldn't matter. Whatever country you're from, it doesn't. It should not be the issue. So, you know, it's kind of a freaky thing. But I think what we have going is sort of a mixture between Brave New World and 1984, because it's very much a scientific dictatorship. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, you know, it sounds crazy to people that don't have a clue what's going on. The things that I'm saying right now sound like I'm completely out of my mind. I realize that, but I don't really care. I've done the research, so
right.
I've read the writings of the guys themselves. They tell you what they're doing, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that if we had any kind of free press that was in the mainstream, then the dumbed down sheeple would know something was wrong. And I think people are starting to figure it out, but they got to turn off the television, man. You got to stop watching the state-controlled news, which it all is, and get on the internet and find real journalists out there. And they're out there. They're young guys who are into it only for the, you know, it's not about, like, being media whores and making tons of money and being a personality on television. It's about, man, this is serious shit. We got to get the word out. You know, there's, like, heavy stuff going on. And so they're doing it themselves. They're using the internet as a weapon against, you know, the control freaks. So it's a... what it is, man.
Cool. Well, thanks for letting us interview.
Yeah, no problem.
Much appreciated. John Schaefer, Ice Earth.
We're ready for sound check.